Today's shiur is Masechta Kedushin Daf Ayin Hey. We will begin on Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanim. We learned in the Braisa, Ben Tisha Shana V'Yom Echad. If there's a boy who's 9 years old and a day and older, whose bia, whose act of bia is considered an act of bia, if he's a ger amoni or mayavi, mitzri v'adoimi, kuti nosen chol u'mamzer. All of these are people who, as we've been learning our sugyas, are people who are apostle. Shabal, kahanis, v'alaviyah, v'abas Yisrael. If they had relations with a kahanis, leviyah, Yisraelis, the paslua, they disqualify her. They disqualify her means that she may no longer marry a kohen, or it also means that if she's a bas kohen, the halacha is that a bas kohen is allowed to eat truma. This woman will not be allowed to eat truma anymore. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kosher is our apostle, paisel. Wherever we're going to have a situation that they have disqualified children, then the woman with whom such relations occurred will become disqualified. For kosher ain't our apostle, ain't a paisel. But where there aren't children who become disqualified, she doesn't become disqualified. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion is the kosh atanois abito atanois almanosoi. Wherever you may marry the daughter, you may marry the widow of a person who had relations with such an individual. The kosh atanois abito. But if you're not allowed to marry the daughter, atanois almanosoi, so too may you not marry his widow. So we have here three opinions on how to decide when a woman becomes disqualified from tikkunah. And the Gemara now will analyze what do these three opinions actually hold. Ask the Gemara, Ma'ika ben Tanakama ben Rabbi Yossi. What are the actual opinions of the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi? Am Rabbi Yochanan, Mitzri Sheni Ika Benayu. The Nafkamina will be if a woman had relations with a Mitzri Sheni. As we learned, the Pasuk says, Bonamashi Vodulhem Dar Shlishi Yovalem Bekal Hashem, that a Mitzri Shlishi is already considered a full-fledged Jew, and that is going to be the nafkamina between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. According to the Tanakama, if a woman had relations with a Mitzri Sheni, since the Mitzri Sheni is not considered a full-fledged Jew, having relations with such an individual disqualifies her from the kahuna. Whereas Rabbi Yossi looks at the children, and since the child that will be born of such a relationship is a Mitzri Shlishi, and as we've been learning, a Mitzri Shlishi is considered a valid Jew, therefore the woman who had relations with a Mitzri Sheni doesn't become disqualified. And says the Gemara, what is the basis of their machloikis? V'shnei lo lamdu el makayim godl balmona. They learned their opinions from the case of a kohen godl having relations with an almona. The Tanakam suffer ki kohen godl balmona. We compare it to the situation of a kohen godl having relations with almona. Ma kohen godl balmona should be also by avera paisel ba. If a kohen godl has relations with an almona, she becomes a chalola. She no longer may marry a kohen. Others want to suggest that she becomes a zayna. Af kol should be also by avera paisel, she becomes disqualified. Rabbi Yossi suffer ki kohen godl balmona. Rabbi Yossi says, yes, we use the model of kohen godl balmona to teach us. Ma kohen godl balmona, if a kohen godl has relations with almona, she's zara posel, his children are chalolim. That's why upaisel, does the woman who had relations with this kohen godl become also disqualified? So too, says Rabbi Yossi, av kol shezara posel, in any situation where the children become disqualified, that's where the halacha will be posel, that the children are also, if the woman will become disqualified. Afuki mitzisreini, this comes to exclude a situation where a woman had relations with a mitzri sheni, shein zara posel, his children are not posel. As we said, as the pasuk says, "Damakra, these children are considered full-fledged Yisraelim, and since the children are considered Yisraelim, the mother also will not become disqualified. The third opinion that was cited in the Braisa was the opinion of Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Kosh atanois bitoi, atanois amanosoi. If you're allowed to marry the person's daughter, you're allowed to marry his widow. She doesn't become disqualified because she atanois bitoi, atanois amanosoi. So Rav Shimon Gamliel is also focusing on the child born from this relationship, and therefore asked the Gemara, my ikar ben Rabbi Yosef Rav Shimon Gamliel, if they're both focusing on the children to determine the qualification or the status of the mother, where do we have, what is the nafkamina? Answers the Gemara, Amma Ula, Ger Amoni Ma'avi Ika Benayu. The nafkamina will be if a woman had relationships, a relationship with an Amoni, a Ger who's an Amoni or Ma'avi. According to Rabbi Yossi, if any child born from this relationship is possible, that will disqualify the mother. And as we have learned, and the Gemara is going to quote in a moment that then again, that the halach is amayni v'loy amaynis, may avi v'loy may avis. The disqualification of aman amayav are limited to the males, not to the females. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, if there's going to be a relationship between a woman and amayni and amay avi, since the male children born from that marriage are disqualified, apostle, that also causes the mother to become apostle. On the other hand, if Shimon Elazar says, we look at the daughter is not going to be disqualified because she's an amayavis, she's a minus who we're learning don't become disqualified, and therefore neither will the mother become disqualified. And again, says the Gemara, their basis for the dispute between Reb Yossi and Reb Shimon ben Elazar is also Vishnei Loilam Du El Makayim Gadol Balmana. They both learned their opinions from the halacha of a Kohen Gadol marrying an Almana. Reb Yossi Sover Ki Kohen Gadol Balmana. We compare it to a situation of a Kohen Gadol marrying an Almana. Ma Kohen Gadol Balmana. When a Kohen Gadol marries an Almana, Shazar Apostle, as we learned before, the children are disqualified. The children are halalim. That's why upaisel, so too does the woman who had relationship become apostle. Av kol shazar apostle, wherever we have disqualified children who are the result of a relationship, paisel, that will cause the mother to become disqualified. However, Rav Shimon Gamliel says also, we compare to Kohen Gadol Balmana. Ma Kohen Gadol Balmana, where Kohen Gadol has relations with Almana, kol zaroi posel, all of the children, the males and females, are disqualified. They're all halolim and may not marry a Kohen. Av kol shazar posel afil in the kavis. So too for the child, for the mother to become disqualified, we have to have a situation that all of the children, not just the male children who are born, but also the female children who are born, should become disqualified. Lafuki, which comes to exclude the situation of a ger amayni umayavi, then the kavis have a ksheris lava bakal. The daughters that would be born from such a relationship would be considered full-fledged Jews. Damamar, because as we said before, the halacha regarding an amayni v'me'animus is amayni v'loy amaynis, me'avi v'loy me'avis. Amr Rav Chisda, says Rav Chisda, Hakel Moidim Ba'almanas Isa, that Almanas Isa is Psul Lakuna. And there's a Machlaikis Rishonim, how to define who is, what is an Almanas Isa. Rashi explains that Almanas Isa is a woman who married an individual who is a Sofik Cholom, which the Rishonim and the Mefarshim have a difficult time understanding Rashi's pshat, because according to Rashi, the question is that a woman married an individual with a Safek Chol. Our Gemara is going to soon describe that this is a situation of a Sfek Sfeika. And the question is, why is this a situation of a Sfek Sfeika? There's only one Safek. is this man a cholo or is this man not a cholo? So Pnei Yeshua says that we have to say, according to Rashi, that the wording of the Gemara here that uses the wording of Sfek Sfeika is not in the usual sense of Sfek Sfeika. Here it means that the man is a Sofik, is he cholo or not, and that Sofik transfers over to the wife, who's a derivative of that Sofik, and therefore she's considered a Sfek Sfeika. Another pshat offered by the Rishonim is that there was a family in which there was an individual who's a Sofik Cholol, but we don't know who is that Sofik Cholol in the family, and now a woman married a man from that family, and now we have a Sfek Sfeika. A Sofik, if the man she married is at all the individual on which there's a Sofik, if he's a Cholol or not, and even if he is that individual, maybe that man is not a Sofik. The problem with this pshat, point out the Mefarshim, is that we just discussed in the previous shiur in regards to what is or what isn't considered a Sfek Sfeika. We said in the previous shiur that we have one Sofik beguf and one Sofik betaroivis, it's not considered a Sfek Sfeika. Let me explain what we're saying. Here we have one Sofik regarding this individual. If he's a is he a cholo or not? That's Sofik begufon. Another Sofik is a taruvis, where this individual is mixed in with the rest of the family, and we don't know who is that individual. That we said a Sofik ochre beguf and Sofik echre betaruvis is not considered a Sfek Sfeika. So why would our Gemara consider it a Sfek Sfeika? So the Beis Shmuel says that really we ought to be mekel. As we're learning in our sugyas, by a Sofik Mamzer we're lenient, by a Sofik Cholol we ought to be lenient. It's a Mala Osu B'Yuchsin. So here, even though it isn't really considered a full-fledged Sfek Sfeika, says the Beis Shmuel, for Hilchus Yuchsin it's enough of a Sfek Sfeika. The Beis Meir attempts to use a different explanation. He says, what would be the halacha if we had a chicken coop and there was one animal in the chicken coop that's a Sofik Trefa, and now there's an egg hatched in that chicken coop? We know the egg hatched from a kosher chicken is kosher. The egg hatched from a Trefa chicken is Tref. And that is an egg that we find here in the chicken coop. And we have a Sfek Sfeika. One Sofik is this egg from the eggs from the chicken that are kosher or from the chicken that's not kosher, and even from the chicken that's a Sofik, and even if it's a Sofik, it's a Sofik. The halacha would be we're allowed to eat the egg. Says the same thing here, our questions on the almana, and therefore since we have this Sfek Sfeika, we could be lenient with the almana. However, Davne Melum says that we can't compare the situation of the Beis Meir that the Beis Meir is discussing to our situation, because in our situation, we know for sure with whom the woman had relations. We just don't know what his status is. Whereas there, we don't know at all where the egg came from. The Crazy Uplacy says a Lomdashatarz. He says like this, Sfek Sveika, there's an afkamina if the two Sveikas are a Sofik Daraisa, or if one Sofik is only a Sofik Derabonon. If one Sofik is only a Sofik Derabonon, we certainly can be more lenient. So he says, the Sofik, if he's a Sofik Cholol or not, creates a situation of a Derabonon. Because, as we said a moment ago, a Sofik Cholol is Be'emis Mutter. So it's only a Derabonon situation. And now when we have another Sofik, where this individual got nisare with all the other individuals, there everybody will be able to consider it a situation of a Sfek Sfeika. There's another, however, the Rishonim point out that let's say we have an Asufi that was found in a city, that most of the city is non-Jewish. The halacha is that a Sufi would be allowed to marry a Jewish girl after he was Mizgayer, even though we said in our Mishnah that a Sufi should not marry Bas Yisrael. Because here too, we have a Sfek Sfeker. Maybe he's not Jewish at all, and he's a Ger, and a Ger is allowed to marry Bas Yisrael. And even if he's a Yisrael, maybe he's a Yisrael kosher. So the question is, aren't we machmer by Sfek Sfekis by Yochsin? So why are we not machmer here? So he says that here, since it's similar to the woman that's on the question that we just discussed, and just like we're makel by this woman, we'll be makel regarding this Asufi. So says Omar of Chizda, Haka moidim ba'monas Isa shepsulul kuna. Everybody agrees that the Almanas Isa, well, who just described what Almanas Isa is possible kuna. Man mekel bani tonight. From the three tanoim that we quoted in the Brisa that we began today's shiur with, who is the most lenient opinion? Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The Kamer, what was Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's opinion? The kol shata noisa bitoi at the noisa almanosai. Wherever you're allowed to marry the daughter of the relationship, you're allowed to marry the widow. She doesn't become disqualified. Because she had to know the bitoy, he had to know some manosai. Amute mai, what is it coming to exclude? Amute amonos isa, it's coming to speak about the case of amonos isa, whose daughter is posel, and therefore, psula lakuna, the mother also becomes posel, disqualified to marry a kohen. Lafuki mahani tanoi, which is in disagreement with the opinion of the other Tanoim, the Tanan, Heid Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Yehuda ben Seira, Almanas Isa, Shekshera Lakuna. That Almanas Isa is Kshera Lakuna. My Tama, because as we explained, the Gemara holds that she's considered a Svek Sveka, and we could be Svek Sveka Lakula. Ask the Mepharshim, going back to an opinion that we cited in the previous year. The Divrei HaMach Sheba, Mach Shebebita. If the halacha is that the mother is considered a Sfek Sfeka, so then the child, and therefore we should ought to be lenient regarding the mother, we should certainly be lenient regarding the daughter also, because we said whatever is the status of the mother is also the status of the child. So I saw two turuts. The Pnei Yeshua says, now we could understand Rashi's opinion. Because as we said at the beginning of this piece of Gemara, Rashi's definition of a manas isa was a difficult explanation, because it's not really a sex faker. And the Pnei Yeshua tried to answer Rashi. What forced Rashi to say this difficult pshat? Says the Pnei Yeshua, this Gemara is what forced Rashi to say the difficult pshat. Because if the mother were a true sex faker, then the halacha ought to be l'divrei hamach sheba. And just like the mother is permitted, so too should be the child permitted. But now that Rashi explained that she's not a real Svek Sveka, we could understand why it doesn't apply to the daughter. But according to the other explanation that we gave, that it's considered a real Svek Sveka, why are we not lenient with the daughter? So again, if we review what we just spoke about a couple of moments ago, that this is not a real Sfek Sfeika, even according to that explanation, because it's Sofek Ech Beguf and Sofek Ech Betaroivis, again, we could have an explanation why we only could be lenient regarding the mother, not regarding the child. However, other Mepharshim explain as follows. When do we say the concept of the Divrei HaMach Shebo, Mach Shebebita, was regarding the case that we learned in the previous year. We're going to discuss such a case in a moment again, where there's a woman who becomes pregnant, and we ask her who the father is, who the husband is, and she says, Lakash Navalti. We don't have any other information besides what she's telling us. So the opinion we learned yesterday, the Divrei Mach Sheba, Mach Shebebita, the chazaka of the mother also will extend to the daughter. In our Gemara, we do know who the father is. We just have a shaila on the father. He's a Sufik Cholol. Therefore, where we know for sure who the father is, and we know there is a question regarding the status of the father, So there we can't say that we're just going to look at the chazaka of the mother and extend it to the daughter. We can't ignore the existence of the father, who we know is of questionable yichus. And therefore, we can't apply the concept of divrei hamach shebo of machshav b'bita. The Mishnah said, the Rebbe Elazar said, vadan bevadan mutar, that people whose yichus is certainly osur can marry other people whose yichus is osur. However, vadan b'sveikon, b'sveikon b'vadon, according to Elazar is osur. Amar Yehuda Marav, so says Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav, that Allah indeed is Rabbi Elazar, follows the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Says the Gemara, Kamrita Kamei to Shmuel Amali, when this was repeated to Shmuel, he said to me, Hillel Shoyin Asar Yuchsim Olam B'Bavel. Hillel taught us that there were 10 different groups, the Kul Matar and Labazabazah, and they're all permitted one with the other. And as the Rishonim point out, it doesn't mean that they're all mutter, because certainly somebody of good yichus is not allowed to marry a mamzer or a shtuki or an asufi. What the Gemara means is that Hillel spoke about an ashtuki and an asufi, who are both sveikis, being allowed to marry a vaday mamzer, or being allowed to marry each other. Vat amrit halach Rebbe Elazar. So Hillel clearly doesn't agree with Rebbe Elazar. So how could you say that halacha follows the opinion of Rebbe Elazar? There's a machlokes rishonim. When the Gemara here quotes Hillel Shoyna Asar Yochsim, what does the Gemara mean? Sarim explained that the Gemara means to quote the first Mishnah of our Perek. The Gemara is saying that Mishnah was quoted by Hillel. However, others say that the Gemara here means to quote a Braisa, because the opinions cited in the first Mishnah of the Perek are clearly not accepted by all. Rebbe Elazar clearly doesn't agree with those opinions. Rebbe Yehuda doesn't agree with everything we learned in the first Mishnah. So it would be a situation of Stam, where we have a Stam Mishnah, v'achach machloikis, and then we have a machloikis in the same parish, where that Mishnah is not considered the definitive psak. Therefore, the Gemara quotes a Braisa that quotes the opinion of Hillel. We always follow the opinion of Hillel, and therefore Shmuel says, if Rebbe Elazar's opinion is contrary to the opinion of Hillel, we can't follow Rebbe Elazar's opinion. Ask the Gemara, V'rami the Rav of the Rav. We seem to have a contradiction here in the opinion of Rav. V'rami the Shmuel, and we're also going to have a machloikis in the opinion of Shmuel. Ditma. We learned, Arusa She'ibra, the halacha is that if a woman who's an Arusa, and we keep on repeating that a woman who's an Arusa, Midaraisa, is considered an Eishes Ish. So an Arusa She'ibra, Rav Amar Havlad Mamzer. The child is considered a Mamzer. Shmuel Amar Havlad Shtuki. And Shmuel says that the child is considered a Shtuki. The question that the Mefarshim ask is, why is the child considered a mamzer according to Rav? Why don't we say that since most of the world are goyim, and a goy haba bas Yisrael, the Vlad is a Yisrael, so the Pnei Yeshua says that we have to say that our Gemara is referring to a situation where this took place in a city where there were only Jews, or mostly Jews, and therefore we can't follow the Rav Akum that are in the world. So says the Gemara, Rav Amar Vlad Mamzer, Rav declared the child as a Mamzer, Umut Mamzeris. And since he's declared a Mamzer, he's allowed to marry a Mamzeris. Shmuel, on the other hand, declared the child to be a Shtuki, and he's also a Mamzeris. So we here see that here we have a situation where we have a Sofik on the status of the child, and Rav says that a Sofik is allowed to marry a mamzer, contrary to the opinion of Rebbe Elazar. The Rebbe Elazar says a Sofik may not marry a mamzer. So how can we say the Rav followed the opinion of Rebbe Elazar? Shmuel, on the other hand, said that the child is a shtuki and that he's not allowed to marry a mamzeris. But isn't that the opinion of Rebbe Elazar, who Shmuel said we don't follow? Says the Gemara, we have no choice other to say Apuk. We have to reverse the opinion. Rav Domav Lad Shtuki. Rav is going to consider the child as a Shtuki and may not marry a Mamzeris, consistent with the opinion of Rav Elezer. The Shmuel Amav Lad Mamzer. Shmuel is going to say the child is a Mamzer and is allowed to marry a Mamzeris, also consistent with his opinion that we pass in like the Brisa that Hill quoted. But now ask the Gemara, if so, Tartilomali, why do we have to say the same opinion of Rav? The Rav follows the opinion of Elezer in two different cases. And why do we have to say that Shmuel follows the opinion of Hillel in two different cases? They should say it only once. The Rav holds like Reb Elezer, and Shmuel holds like Reb, like Hillel. Answers the Gemara Tzricha. They had to quote their machloikas in two different settings. The Itma Baha, if we only would have had the original Braisa, where Rav, the original Halacha, where Rav passes like Reb Elezer, I would say Baha come Rav. In that case, Rav says that that child may not marry a Mamzer. Because we're talking about a case of an unmarried woman. And Rav Ksherim Etzla, most women, most people that she has relations, she would have relations with, would not disqualify a child. Therefore, the child is, we could consider him a kosher child. And therefore, Rav says that she should not be allowed to marry, that child should not be allowed to marry a mamzer. Aval Hossam, in the child of an Arusa, the Rav Psulim Etzla, everybody in the world is also to marry this woman, allowed to have relations with this woman. Any person in the world having relations with the Arusa, who he said a moment ago is considered an Ashes Ish, will cause that the child born is a Mamzer. There's only one person in the world that will not create that situation, the Arus. So since Roy Psum Etzla, Eimim Maida L'Shmuel, that she considered this child to probably be a disqualified Yichus, and he should be allowed to marry a Mamzer, teaches us Rav, that even in this case, he holds that the child should not be allowed to marry a Mamzer. V'yitma b'hach, if we only had the case of an Orus, I would say b'hokam a Rav. But in that case, does Rav say that she's not allowed, the child born may not marry a Mamzer? Why? Mishum de'ikla mitla b'orus. We can assume that whom does he who does an Arusa have relations with? Ha'aris. And therefore the child is not a problem. Ava Baha, in a case regarding a woman who's not an Arusa, perhaps over there we should say, Eimim Moida L'Shmuel, there he agrees to Shmuel, that we have to be concerned that an unmarried woman who had relations with someone who is disqualified, and therefore the child born should be considered of disqualified yichus and be allowed to marry a mamzer tzricha. That's why we had to say the machloikas twice. Actually, the mefarshim suggest that the Gemara could have resolved the original question, the original stira between Rav and Shmuel's opinion, without needing to reverse the opinions of Rav and Shmuel, by saying that the Rav considers the child of an Arusa more likely to be a Mamzer than the child of an unmarried woman, and therefore he permits the child of an Arusa to marry a Mamzeris, even though he forbids a regular Shtuki from marrying a Mamzeris. Shmuel, on the other hand, will say that the child of an Arusa is less likely to be a Mamzer, and therefore he says that this child, even though normally he holds the Shtuki is allowed to marry a Mamzer, this child he considers as probably kosher and will not be allowed to marry a Mamzer. So he would be able to answer the opinions of Rav and Shmuel and not need to reverse their opinions. Says the Mashal that the Gemara didn't do so because the Gemara considered it unlikely that the Machloikis of Rav and Shmuel is regarding the likelihood of who the Orus Darusa had relations with, that the Machloikis of Rav and Shmuel would be reduced to a question, is it more likely that she had relations with the Orus, or is it less likely that she had relations with the Orus? And therefore, the Gemara gave a different pshat. Bibai Seima, another way of explaining, of understanding the opinions of Rav and Shmuel, Loilam Loitepach. There's no reason to to reverse the opinions of Rav and Shmuel in the second opinion. My mom's the Kama Rav. What did Rav mean when he said that the child born from Narusa is a mamzer? Is Lav Mutba Mamzeris? He didn't mean to say that this child is allowed to marry Mamzeris. Vadi is not allowed to marry Mamzeris. Rav holds like Rebbe Lezer. What Rav means to say is, El the Osir Bas Yisrael, what Rav meant to say was that he's not allowed to marry a regular Jewish girl. And as the Rishonim point out, so who would he be allowed to be married? The only person he would be allowed to marry is a Giyayus. Shmuel, who says that the Vlad is a Shtuki, he means the Osir Bas Yisrael. That Shmuel says, oh, that he's not allowed, he's a Shtuki, he's not allowed to marry Bas Yisrael. Ask the Gemara, but then Shmuel and Rav are saying the exact same thing. What's the machloikus of Rav and Shmuel? Says the Gemara, my shtuki, what Shmuel meant to say was, if his mother was married, was a Rusa, to a Kayin, we don't give him the din of a Kayin. Ask the Gemara, of course we don't give him the din of a Kayin. Pshita, hasht medin Yisrael mishkinalei. It was saying now that we don't allow him to be treated like a Yisrael, and he can't marry a Bas Yisrael, but then Kuhuna Mabai, he certainly cannot be considered a Kayin. Although, I saw Rabbi Yashiv points out that when we have such a situation, when Arusa had relations, became pregnant, we don't know who the father is, and even though we maybe should assume that the Orus, who's a Kayin, is the father, Rav, and now certainly Shmuel, are teaching us that we don't allow him to have the din of a Kayin. Says Rav Yashiv, that's only L'chumra, that we wouldn't allow him to Duchin, we wouldn't allow him to eat Truma. But perhaps L'chumra, that he should not be allowed to become Tomei, maybe as far as that is concerned, we have to be Machma. El Mai Shtuki, what does it mean Shtuki? Shemeshatken Oysan Menichsi Aviv. We don't allow him to take Yerusha. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, Midin Avu Manu. If we're saying that we can't be certain that the Orus is the father, certainly he isn't entitled to inheritance from the Orus. And the Gemara like Tzricha the Tafas. The Gemara is referring to the situation where this man died, and he took some possessions because he's saying I am his son. And even though in many areas of halacha there is a concept of tfisa, that if somebody seizes certain assets or properties, we have to take that in consideration. Here, says Shmuel, to that degree, we don't consider him the child of this man, that even if he was seized this property, we will not allow him to hold on to it. Vibay Seima, my shtuki. What did Shmuel say when he said shtuki? He actually meant beduki. Shabaitkinis imai, vaimel koshin of alti. If we ask the mother who was the person you had relations with, and she says it was a person of good yichus, namenis, she is believed. Ask the Gemara, Kaman, according to whom would that lenient opinion follow? It would follow the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. Ask the Gemara, Ha'am Rishmul Chadazimna. Shmuel already said that the halacha follows Rav Gamliel, that if a woman becomes pregnant and she testifies that the person that made her pregnant is a person of good yichus, we accept that testimony. The Tanan, we just quoted this Gemara in the previous year, Hoysim Uberes, if an unmarried woman is pregnant and she's Vamaloi Mativa Shabazu, and we ask her who is his father, and the woman says Mish Ploini V'Koinu, Rav Gamliel Rav Elazar Imran Amenis, we trust what she says. Rav Shua, on the other hand, said so what is Mishnah coming to teach us? That she's a shtuki. That means that we accept the testimony, not that he's a shtuki, but he's beduki. And if the mother says that that the relations were with a fine person, it wouldn't affect the child. Isn't that already something Shmuel taught us, that the halacha follows Rav Gamliel? Answers the Gemara Tzricha. The situation Rav Gamliel is addressing is an unmarried woman who's not an Arusa. And as we said earlier in Ashir, most people in the world are people that would not disqualify her. It's only her close relatives, a Mamzer or a Nosin, that would have that kind of an effect. That's why Rav Gamliel is perhaps lenient and we trust what she says. Avu Hocha, the case that Shmuel is addressing is an Arusa, which we keep on saying is an Eishes Ish. And the only person in the world having relations with her that would not disqualify the child is the Oris. Any other man having relations with her is a situation of an Eishes Ish. The Roi Psuin Etzla, most people in the world are people that she's not allowed to have relations with. Maybe over here Rabbi Gamliel would not be lenient. That's why Shmuel had to tell Tzricha that even here, if she testifies that this, that the person she had relations with was a man of good yichus, we accept what she says and the child is fine. Tanya, we learned in the Mishnah, and so quoting the Brice of Chener Belaza Omer, Kuti la Yisukitus. A Kuti may not marry Kutus. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why? Obviously, as the Rishonim explain, in a situation of an Ashtuki and an Asufi, we can understand why Rebbe Lezer says that Sveikon b'Sveikon may not get married. Because this person may be actually of good yichus, and this person may actually be a mamzer, and therefore Rebbe Lezer says they're not allowed to marry each other. We may have a situation that a legitimate person is marrying a mamzer. However, Kutim and Kutis are all in the same category. So why does Rebbe Lezer say that a Kuti may not marry a Kutis? Amar Rabbi Yosef, Asuk Gel Achas Erdaris. Chazal treated the Kutim like Gerim after 10 generations. The Tanya, Ger Adasar Doris Mutim Mamzerim, even though we're learning that Gerim may marry Mamzerim. However, once we have this family living amongst Klal Yisrael for 10 generations, Chazal said they're not allowed to marry Mamzerim because we stop thinking of these people as Gerim. We consider them regular Yisraelim. So if we're going to allow them to marry Mamzerim, people are going to say that a Yisrael is allowed to marry Mamzer. Says Rabbi Yosef, the Rabbi Lezer holds that Chazal applied the same din to Kutim. Ger Adasar Doris Mutim Mamzeris. Mikan Ve'elach Osma Mamzeris. The Yesh Omrim, that the Shir is Achi Yishtaka Shem Avaris Kachav Mamemno. It's not depending on generations. It depends as long as people consider them Gerim or not. Amalei Abaya, ask Abaya, me dummy, how can we compare the two situations? Hosam Ger Yoshun or Mamzeres Chadosha. We have a Ger whose family have been Gerim for generations and people have forgotten that they're Gerim. And the Mamzer, everybody knows is a Mamzer. So we're going to allow this Ger to marry a Mamzer. People will not realize that this individual is a Ger and they're going to believe that a Yisrael may marry a Mamzer. Amri by Yisrael, who the Karnos of Mamzeris. Hocha ever idividi kadodinenu. The Kuti and the Kutis are in the exact same boat. So what are we worried? That they're going to consider them Yisraelim? So it's a Yisrael marrying Yisraelim. El Kosar of Dimi Amma, Rebbe Lezer Sovelak Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Lezer holds like Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Shmuel Sovelak Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Shmuel holds like Rebbe Kiva, Rebbe Lezer Sovelak Rebbe Shmuel, Rebbe Lezer holds like Rebbe Shmuel, Dama Kute Geira Raya saying, that holds that the Kutim were Geira Rayas, and therefore they're not considered full-fledged Geirim. Rebbe Shmuel Sovelak Rebbe Kiva, and then Rebbe Shmuel holds like the opinion of Rebbe Kiva that we've quoted so many times, Dama Ove Kachav Ve'ever Abba Bas Yisrael, since it's a Chai V'lavin, Havlad Mamzer, the child is considered a Mamzer. And therefore, according to Rebbe Lezer, the Kutim are Mamzerim. Now, as explained to Rishonim, when the Kutim converted, there were Jews that assumed that their conversion was valid. And therefore, there were Jews that began intermarrying with them. Therefore, we had a situation that when a Jewish man married a Kuta woman, the child is not Jewish. But when a Jewish woman married a Kuti man, the child, according to the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, is a Mamzer. Now, generations later, when we have Kutim, we don't know who these different Kutim, from where they descended. One might have descended from Kutim who are non-Jews, one might have descended from Mamzerim. Now, a Mamzer is not allowed to marry a Goy, even though he's a Mamzer. Therefore, Rebbe Lezer says, a Kutim may not intermarry. Ask the Gemara, Omi Savalei Rebbe Shmuel Rebbe Kiva, does Rebbe Shmuel agree with the opinion of Rekiva? V'omer Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Nayin Lavi Kachav Ve'Evet Shabar Baal Kahenes Ve'Alviv Bat Yisrael Shepaslua Shnema Ubas Kain Kisiyah Amon of a Grusha V'Zer Ein Lo, that if the daughter of a Kain becomes an Amon of a Grusha, she goes back to her father's home and she can eat Truma. Mishesh Lo Amon of a Grusha, that teaches us that only somebody could cause a woman to become an Amona Grusha. By them, there's a concept of Kedushin. Yotzai v'kacham v'eved she'en l'emonas v'grushin. And so a woman who married Eved or Kanani doesn't have that din, because he doesn't have the capacity to make Kedushin by her. And since he doesn't have the capacity for the Kedushin to be typhus, Reb Shmuel holds that she does not become permanently disqualified. So the question is, how can we say Rabbi Shmuel follows the opinion of Akiva and say that that's the basis for Rabbi Elazar's psak? V'isak data savaloi k'Rabbi Akiva, hash the mamza haver. If a woman, if a Jewish woman has relations with Rabbi Chacham Magoi, the child is a mamzer, misum abiyos mebayah, would there be a question that this woman becomes disqualified? Obviously, Rabbi Shmuel doesn't follow the opinion of Akiva. El Rabbi Elazar says, no, we have to skip a step here. We have to say, Rabbi Elazar savak l'Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Elazar holds, like Rabbi Shmuel, Dama Kuti Girei Rayis, as we said before, Kuti Girei Rayis. And it's not Rabbi Shmuel following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, it's Rabbi Elazar savak l'Rabbi Akiva, follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that says, Ivkacham v'Evad Abba Bas Yisrael Avlad Mamzer. And therefore, as we said before, we now have a concern that since the Geiris of the Kutim was invalid, and not everybody was aware of that, we're going to have a mix-up between Yisraelim and Goyim. Ask the Gemara, Umisavala Rabbi Elazar k'Rabbi Akiva, does Rabbi Elazar concur with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva? Bom Rabbi Elazar, Api shenechalku b'sham b'esel b'tzaris, even though there's a machlok between b'sham b'esel and tzaris. The first Mishnah Masechta Yevamos says that if a woman falls to Yibum, to a man, that the woman is a erva to that man, there's no obligation for Yibum. The question is regarding the tzaras erva. There's a machloikis, Beishamai and Beishilo. Beishamai say that the tzara of an erva is not exempt from Yibum. Whereas Beishilo says that the tzara of an erva is exempt from Yibum. Rabbi Elazar says that even though we find Avbi Shenechalku Beisham Beisil Betzaris, even though we have Machlokes Beisham Beisil regarding the status of a Tzaris erva regarding Yibum, Maidim, everybody agrees She'ein Mamzer El Mishe Suri Is Erva Vanish Koris, only if a woman has relations with a man with a Zachiv Koris. Now, with an Eved Kachovim and an Eved, there is no Chiv Koris. So how could we suggest that Rabbi Elazar is following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva? That from Chai V'Lavin alone there's a Mamzer, Rabbi Elazar clearly doesn't follow that opinion. So we're back to trying to understand, why does Rabbi Elazar hold that a Kuti lo Yisakutis? El Ki Osa Ravin Amr Rab Chibar Abba Amr Rab Yochanan V'Amr Lai Amr Rab Abba V'Zavda Amr Rab Chanina V'Amr Lai Amr Rab Yaakov Bar Idi Amr Rab Shub Malevi Sholosh Mechloikz B'Dover. There are three opinions regarding this situation. And the Machlokes was showing him what these three opinions reflect. Do the three opinions reflect why a Kuti lo Yisakutis? And these three opinions, therefore, will be concurring with the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Or the three opinions refer to the status of Kutim. And once we've established the status of Kutim, we could now go on to discuss how will that affect their children. Rabbi Shmuel saw a Kuti Geira Raisin. Rabbi Shmuel holds that the Kutim are Geira Arayus. The Kahanim Shenit Mahem. And then we had Kahanim who became assimilated amongst the Kutim. Kahanim Psum Haya. that would disqualify kahanim. Shnema v'yas lahem miktsosim kahanei bonus. Bamer Rabbi Bachana or Rabbi Yochanan mena kaitzim shibam. Kaitzim is the thorns, the unfit. Mishamachi peslinu, and that is the disqualification of the kutim. In other words, there were kahanim in amongst the kutim, and these kahanim were puzzled, and now when they get mixed into Klal Yisrael, that they will puzzle whoever they marry. And now when we have a kutis who becomes a geyoris, she may not marry a kuti because she may be marrying somebody who's actually a puzzle koyim. Rekiva's punyan is kutim geri emesain. The kutim are geri emes. The kahanim shenit mehem kahanim ksherim hayu. And the kahanim that got mixed unto them were actually kahanim ksherim. Shnema v'yaslam miktsosim kain abanus. V'ama rabba b'bachanam rabbi yochanan men v'chirim shema'am. They were really the best people. They were kahanim of fine yichas. V'al neima osrim. So why the kutim osr? Nei shayim yabim esarusas. The kutim would perform yibim with women whose husbands died when they only had a relationship of erusin. P'taychim esin esuas. But they did not do yibim with women who had a full-fledged marriage and then the husbands die without children. Those women are shemeris, are women who are mechuyev yibum. And now we're following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. The opinion of Rabbi Kiva is that from a chayv elavim themselves, the din is that the child becomes a mamzer. So we had these women, the nesuas, who were obligated to have yibum, but didn't have yibum, and then get married without Yibam, so that children were Mamzerim. They got mixed in between these Kutim, so we have Mamzerim mixed in between the Kutim. So now we follow two opinions of the Rishonim. Either one pshat is, that's what Rabbi Kiva is saying, so amongst the Kutim, there are Mamzerim, or, as Rabbi Lezer will extend it to say, so we could have a Kuti marrying a Kut, especially we're saying that a Kutim of Geri Emes, we could have amongst them Mamzerim, and that's why a Kuti, who may be a Jew of perfect yichas, marrying a kutis who's a mamzeris, or vice versa, something which is clearly forbidden, and that's why Rabbi Lezer follows, says kuti lo yisa kutis. It's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch says that even if we follow the opinion, the Shach says, that even if we follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that says that the kutim were geirei emes, says the Shach, that certainly is no longer the din now, and they're considered goyim gemurim. Even if we'll say that the original geiris was a acceptable geiris, says the Shach, since they stopped following any of the halachas of Klal Yisrael, not only that, they became oivdei avod zara, says the Shach, the Chazal were mafkia the geiris, and they considered full-fledged goyim. However, there are other achroinim that disagree with the Shach, and they say that it's only l'chumra that we treat them as goyim, but not l'kula.